If you've looked at the sermon title today on the in the bulletin, Light as Bright as the Sun, S-O-N. Now, what a great title for today, isn't it? I mean, it's an absolutely gorgeous day. But that's not the sun we're talking about. The sun we're talking about is, of course, Jesus, and that we need to exemplify and radiate Him. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Our call to worship, John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. There was the true light coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I hope that you can say that you're born of God today. That's our purpose here today, to worship Him. Lord, I thank You so much for this day. Lord, I pray that You will do Your work in our life today and in our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing in drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts.
All right, that takes care of the back of the house. You wanna go around and take the lights off the front?
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, hey, by the way, thank you. If it wasn't for you, I don't know who'd get on that roof. You are awesome.
Yeah. He's, is that the house you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
They leave their lights up all year round.
They leave their lights on all year long. Here, check it out.
So they leave their lights on all year long?
All year long. And those bulbs change according to whatever holiday season it is.
Get out.
Can't, wish I could. So like
July 4th?
Those bulbs come red, white, and blue.
Thanksgiving.
Harvest colors.
Halloween.
Black and orange.
Memorial Day.
Camouflage.
Get out.
Can't, wish I could.
I bet it's embarrassing for the neighbors.
Oh, the neighbors. We're totally embarrassed. We complain about it all the time. Oh, and when there is no holiday season going on, those bulbs become little red hot chili pepper lights.
What?
Yep.
Give me one good reason why you should celebrate the pepper.
Can't, wish I could.
It's like your neighbors are the Motel 6.
My wife, she's always saying, let's just leave the lights on just a little bit longer. Let's just stay in the spirit of things. But when Christmas is over, you take down the lights, am I right?
I don't know. I'm not even the right guy to ask. I don't even put lights on my house.
Why don't you put lights on your house?
I'm afraid of heights. But the question is, why do you put lights on your house?
To celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, all that kind of stuff.
There you go. That's your answer.
What?
If you don't want to celebrate Christ all year long, then take the lights down.
That's not what I was saying. You're putting words in my mouth. You're siding with my wife.
Hey, I'm not siding with anyone. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you and God were,
on the outs?
Yeah.
We're not on the outs. Me and God, we're very tight. We're very, very tight.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Prove it.
Prove what? Are you daring me to leave my lights on all year long?
Hey, no dare here. I'm just saying, you gonna let your little light shine?
Wait! Man the letter, my friend.
What?
Man that ladder. We're gonna get back up there and hang these lights.
No. Oh, I was just kidding.
Oh, yes. It is gonna be a proclamation of my faith.
Didn't you hear? I'm afraid of heights.
You're already up there. Honey, get the apple cider ready. Put on the Perry Como records. These lights are going to shine. Get back here. These lights have to shine.
Let's look at the text. Does anybody remember what I preached on last week? Besides the Bible. Huh? Love. Let's read it. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Owe nothing to anybody except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And I need to go right into John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world, that believes in him. I am so tired of people telling me that a loving God does not send people to hell. And maybe you've said that. Here it says, God loves us so much that he sent his son. Do you believe in Jesus today? Jesus says, all you need to do is believe in me and you'll have eternal life. The penalty for sin is what? The penalty is there. Do you believe in Jesus? If you don't, who's sending who to hell? Me. I hope you understand that. A loving God does not want to send you to hell. So he sent his son as a payment for that. John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 says, I'm not going to ask anybody what it says. I'm going to read it to you. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And 1 John 4:8 says, I didn't know that you guys were going to sing that song. Margaret called me, told me the word or the titles. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so our text today, Romans 13 verse 11, starts out, do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from the sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. It starts out by saying, do this. But it's following what we talked about last week. Do what? Love. Love one another. Because it's the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time. What time? What time is coming? I believe very short. Does anybody know? Huh? He's coming back. And you know what? Christians have heard that for generations and generations and generations. And I just need to remind you that as to God, 1,000 days is like a day and a day is like 1,000. He is waiting for everybody to come to him. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait for him. We know that Jesus is coming again. Therefore, we need to love one another. So Romans 13:11 again says, do this, knowing the time that's to come, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I know that's true for me. I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior about 8 years old, a long time ago. And And he's not saying anything profound here. Sometimes we, oh, what is he saying? The time is closer than when I first believed. And for many of you, that's true. And if you've known Jesus for just a short little bit, that's still true. The time is closer than when we first believed. Let your neighbor, love your neighbor, I'm sorry, love your neighbor. Put on righteousness, because you know that the time is near. I have a quote from Charles Swindoll, and it's called Heaven, Just Passing Through. An American tourist visited the 19th century Polish rabbi, and I can't even say this, Hofitz Chaim, astonished to see the rabbi's home was only a simple room filled with books plus a table and a bench. The tourist asked, Rabbi, where's your furniture? Where's yours? Replied the rabbi. Mine, asked the puzzled American. But I'm a visitor here. I'm only passing through. So am I, said the rabbi. Christy put together the PowerPoint for today, yesterday. I asked her what she thought of that description, and she says, you know, it's kind of humbling as we're packing our stuff. We're just passing through, right, this world. We're here today and gone tomorrow, and we're packing stuff like we're staying for a while. Yeah. Our text today is a continuation in Romans 13, talking about loving our neighbor last week, fulfilling the law. The other part of the fulfillment comes when Jesus Christ fulfills his promise to what? To come again. And that's the part of the fulfillment. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Our call to worship today said almost exactly what I want to tell you today. John 1, 9 through 13. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to know his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. And then Matthew chapter 5 tells us that we are to be that light. So Jesus is the light, we find out in John 1, but now we are to be the light of the world. Whose light are we to be? Christ's love. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can you be made salty again? You are no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we see in John 1, Jesus is the light. Matthew 6, we are to be that light shining so that other people see our good works, so that God will be glorified. So that God will be glorified. Verse 12 again, the night is almost gone, the day is nearer. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. I need to encourage all of us to live the life that Jesus has carved out for us, the life that he promised us when he died on the cross. Put him first and be the light of the world, the shining light that everybody can see. The next two verses, Romans 13, 13 through 14. Let us behave properly. It reminds me of when we had children. You need to behave. Let us behave properly as in the day, the day of the Lord. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. What day are we talking about again? The day when Jesus comes back. Let us behave properly as in the day. Now, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are living today like you would in heaven? Well, obviously not. We can't. We can't do that. But listen to the encouragement of Paul. Behave properly in the same way that you might in the day when Jesus comes. Do we know when that day is going to be? No. But we need to behave as if the day was now. How many of you ever thought about if you had 48 hours to live, how would you live differently? If you had 48 hours? How about if you knew for certain, which we don't, but if you knew for certain Jesus was going to come back in 48 hours and we need to bring as many people into the kingdom of God, if you knew for certain that Jesus was going to come back in 48 hours, would you live differently? Probably. This text is saying, live that way. Live that way now, today. I think the description found in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, is a good description on how we ought to live. Now, Titus, Paul is writing to Titus, and it's a description of an elder in the church. So all of you might be saying, well, that's for elders. That's for church leadership. And I understand church leadership is held at a higher standard. However, don't you think we all had to have that standard? Let's read it. Titus 1, 6 through 9. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We need to live godly lives, my friends, because the day is close at hand. Romans 13, 13 through 14 again. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and in sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard of its lust. Does anybody know where the fruit of the Spirit is in the Bible? Galatians 5:22. Right before we are told what the fruit of the Spirit is, and to keep in step with the Spirit, right before that we are given another list of human responses, living in darkness. I'm going to read it. Galatians 5:19-21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, listen to this, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're encouraged to not live like that, but to live like Jesus was coming today. I mean, if you knew Jesus was coming back in 4 hours after the service, would you go out and grab your neighbor and shake him? You need to know Jesus. Who was that? Mike Warnke. Mike Warnke said, when Jesus comes, now he's a goofy guy. I don't know if you know him, but he's just kind of off the wall. Mike Warnke says, when Jesus comes and all the saints are being rushed up into heaven, he's going to grab a sinner in this hand and a sinner in this hand and say, repent or I'm going to drop you. I don't know how that's going to happen, but we need to witness to the lost. In closing, James 4, 7 through 8, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Paul is focused on telling it like it is. Make sure that you are living for the Lord in every aspect of your life. Put on Jesus Christ. Become light to the dark world. Put off selfish desires and live like you belong to the King of Kings. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Just as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if we are the righteousness of God, then we are the light in a dark world. Amen. Have a good week.